think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, your one-stop shop for all sorts of radio fun. You can always stream our shows at huntleyradio.com. Can you believe it's November already? That means Christmas is right around the corner. And in preparation for that, the Elgin Theater Company will be bringing the holiday comedy to the stage, A Christmas Chaos, an original comical celebration of hijinks, playing November 11th through November 20th at Elgin Art Showcase. Joining me now from the cast are William Athau and Ryan Segovich.
You got it.
Oh,
yes,
Ricky. All right.
Well done, sir.
All right. I promise to slaughter it later on because I'm notorious for slaughtering names, but hey, we got one out of the way.
You didn't even ask for a pronouncer there. All you right. just had it. Awesome.
All right. So, okay, let's talk about A Christmas Chaos. William, can yes. you give us an idea? Before talking to you, I'd never heard of this show. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing probably a lot of our listeners might not be familiar with it. Can you give us an idea of what it's about so that we can get people into the audience to see it?
Well, thank you, Ricky. I had not heard of it either until it was mentioned to me by our director, Julie, that it was one she was considering for this year's holiday show. And it's essentially... the Royal Shakespeare Theater Company is supposed to come in and put on A Christmas Carol.
At Elgin Theater.
And they're bringing everything. They're bringing the cast and the costumes and the set. And they have gone to Elgin, North Dakota.
Oh, no.
So in the last 6 hours, a group of stage hands and amateur actors and other people associated have been brought together with a writer to write his own quick version of the show and to try and put it on so that the audience can still have this experience. However, with all of the cast members and people that are kind of inexperienced, there's a number of little errors and things that occur throughout that will make people just laugh.
So it is chaos.
There is actual
theatrical chaos.
A lot of it.
So do you have to be familiar with A Christmas Carol to enjoy this show?
Well, I think it helps, but at the same time, I think our director, Julie, is actually at times when we've been rehearsing, like, hey, you know what, we're still telling the story. She's like, there may be people who've never seen or heard or read A Christmas Carol. So in between the chaotic moments and the silliness of some of it, we are still trying to tell the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. So we need to make sure that those priceless moments that most of us are all familiar with still come out, and the story of redemption and change does still happen. So even if you're not familiar with the story, you will still learn the story of Ebenezer Scrooge through this show as well.
Now, Ryan, do you tend to steer towards comedy as an actor a lot, or do you go all over the place?
Yeah, I guess you mean just this show or
no, in general.
Yeah. No, comedy. Yeah, I mean it's certainly probably easier to you know, get into this show, I guess, since you bring it up. It's got some physical comedy kind of going along with all the chaos in there. It is, it's not just, you know, the written word making you laugh. There's a lot of visual chaotic elements. But yeah, personally, I do find that I end up doing a lot more comedy. You know, drama is, it's, I do appreciate it. You know, I can think back to a number of shows I've done in my life that have been very serious. And yet it's one of those things where it's like, well, that's not for the faint of heart, right? You know, that I would say that, you know, as difficult as good comedy can be to do, you know, the timing of pulling something off and the awareness of what this, how it looks to the audience and how they're receiving it. Drama is, you know, of course, just kind of like naturally looks that much harder, right? Because being so serious, especially if you end up having anything that results in like crying moments, anything like that, anything it's very, if you're looking to, you know, have tear jerking kind of elements, that can be certainly tricky. You know, you can't come to that lightly. So yeah, generally comedy, right, just kind of comes naturally, I would say, between both Will and I. I don't know if we can miss the beat, sir. I mean, there's so many good, it's been hard throughout the rehearsals, actually, so much improvisation that we want to do. And Julie Price has indulged us many a time. We've had a lot of laughter, a lot of fun doing that. But then, you know, you have to rein that back in and control it. But yeah, comedy seems to just come natural.
So as a guy with comedy as a background, what is it that appealed about this show, about A Christmas Chaos, to you?
You know, when Julie first discussed it with me, I don't know how she pitched it to you, Will, but as I just mentioned, the physicality of it was something she talked about. She really was just like, you know, this is going to be physical challenging, and she wanted it big. And I remember when I came into the audition thinking, right, you know, just go, like, you know, be, you know, very, like, over the top, you know, like whatever you think is going to seem baseline, go there. And once I got more familiar with the script, I'd say that's really rung true, that, you know, you can't, almost as we were just kind of saying, you can't really do anything wrong here. The show is laid out as such that it is so chaotic that almost anything goes. You could think that you might have pushed the envelope and, oh my gosh, this seems too much. No, you're well within the bounds of what this show is set for chaos. So that's the appealing part. You don't always get to do that, because some comedy does have to be delivered in a more subtle fashion often. You know, you do have to let the words work for themselves, and also you don't want to steal focus. But this show is just, oftentimes there's so much going on stage that it's, everything is stealing from itself all at once, and it's a cacophony, you know, that just kind of like works in the moment.
Now, William, we've talked a little bit about the director, Julie Price.
Right.
You're on the board for Elgin Theater mm-hmm. Company. Can you tell me what is it that appealed about bringing Julie in to direct this show?
Well, Julie's done a number of shows with Elgin Theater over the years, and I've had the pleasure of being in many of them. But she's done our holiday show. We've done a holiday show at Elgin since I've been around in 2015, and I know they've done it before then. I've been on the board all that time, but I've been in all the shows since then. So we always try to do something holiday themed, and she has been doing probably five of the last six or four of the last five. So her availability was the biggest thing. Like, is she available to do one? Because she's always done such a spectacular job with it, and I think she enjoys doing a holiday show. So she was our first choice to try and do something for the holiday season. And then we've typically done these radio shows for the last 7 or 8 years, as was mentioned when we were chatting. But she decided, this year I want to go a different direction. I still want to do something fun. She really likes to do something fun that's going to make people laugh, get people in the spirit of the season. But let's do a regular show. So she was clearly the first choice, because she's always brought out such great audiences and great shows. And she also does theater work in other parts of the suburbs, so in Palatine and places like that. And she tends to be able to find some other people to kind of say, hey, why don't you come out and audition for this show? And it brings in a lot of new blood, which also brings in more people, which is a good experience for everybody.
Now, how did the show A Christmas Chaos come about at Elgin Theater Company? Did you guys select the show? Did Julie suggest it? How did it get selected?
Well, we were looking for a show. Julie was picked to do the show, and then she had a number of different scripts that she was reading and that she was looking at. And then she called me and asked me to look at a few of them. And then our president, Richard Grieger, she shared with him some of the things. He had said, you know, pitch me some scripts, and she shared with him some of the things she was looking at. She talked to me about some of them, and this one especially. And through then reading those, we said, yeah, let's go with A Christmas Chaos.
Now, I know there are a lot of secret reveals in this show that we can't talk about, because it's part of what makes it just so absolutely hilarious. But can you tell us what it, in general, about the script stood out? What made you want to do it? What made you think it would be a success in the tradition of what you've been doing at Elgin Theater Company?
Well, I felt when I saw this script and when I was talking with her about it, one, it just, the whole premise of the story seemed very funny. You know, a bunch of people, inexperienced in some respects, some experienced, all having to come together and put this on. And with just some of the ridiculous options that people come up with to try and pull it off. I thought, this is just fun, and it's funny, and you want to, especially with the times we're living in, we want to just have people escape for a couple of hours and just be able to laugh and get in the spirit of the season. And I just thought, you know, from start to finish, I thought this is a great show because it's so unique and unheard of, but people will understand and laugh at a lot of the things that are occurring.
Now, Ryan, we talked about improv before and how you and Will and some of the other cast members have had the chance to improv in the creation process of this show. Do you have background in improv?
You know, I would say as close as that gets from me, I would probably go back to even just high school, so 2+ decades ago, a long time ago. But through, you know, the, you know, Illinois had, you know, what, speech team, right? Communications kind of a team where you would not like debate per se, that that wasn't one of the events, but, you know, like having like dramatic duet acting and stuff like that. I actually did a lot of the impromptu speaking. That's kind of where I cut my teeth on that, though that really wasn't comedic oriented, but it really did help sharpen the skills of just having to think in the moment, because you'd walk into a room and there'd be like, you know, 3 judges in the back and there'd just be like an envelope sitting on a desk. You'd open that envelope up, and inside was either a piece of paper with a sentence on it, one word, a picture, something. And then the clock started and you had, oh, about 2 minutes and a note card and a pen to like write down what you wanted to kind of like talk about. And then you had to give a speech, you know, a good 6-7 minute speech there and kind of move from topic to topic. And it was all just, it wasn't extemporaneous, right, where you had like a bunch of research. It was just impromptu off the head. And yeah, I'd say that that definitely aided it. Again, since it was more serious, but, you know, you're talking to people, you want to make it lively and funny for them. So I lean into comedy with that. It definitely helped, especially if you had like a comedic word or a term at one point. I think I once made a reference to like, you know, something involving like, you know, Bill Clinton and politics and everything. And it's like, yeah, anything to like liven it up. But yeah, I would say that all of this, I mean, something like that surely helps and, you know, keeps you, you know, teaches you some ways where you're in the moment, you have, you know, got to grasp what is given to you and build off of that. And I think all of us, you know, it's surprising. I'm not sure how many people, Will, if you're aware, on the cast actually have formal improv backgrounds. And yet, I mean, oh my gosh, just try and stop us. Like in the moment, everyone's just got such a quick wit and it makes for such a lively, fun rehearsal.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can stream current and past episodes of the show on the It's Showtime with Ricky Lee page at HuntleyRadio.com. I recently had the great pleasure of performing in the comedy I Hate Hamlet with Elgin Theater Company. Now that same proud theater company is bringing a hilarious holiday comedy to audiences November 11th through November 20th at Elgin Art Showcase. Friday and Saturday performances are at 8 p.m. and Sunday matinees are at 2 p.m. Sunday matinees are sign-acted for the deaf and hard of hearing. For ticket information, call 847-741-0532 or visit elgin-theater.org. Getting back to our interview, I'm joined by William Athau and Ryan Segovich, two of the performers who will be entertaining you when you go to see A Christmas Chaos. Now, William, we talked a little bit about Ryan's background with improv, and, you know, through the conversation here, I've been hearing that you also improv during the rehearsal process. What is your background in improv?
Well, I've been teaching high school for 30 years, so there's a lot of improvisation that goes on there. So that's part of my daily life. But I've been doing theater since high school and college and things like that. And then about 12 years ago, I also got into doing some stand-up in some clubs in the area. So oftentimes, you have to think on your feet pretty quick there. So that's kind of, I don't have any formal training in it either. I took theater classes in college and in high school, so, you know, that was always kind of part of the class, as well as doing some improv, frees and all that kind of stuff. But for me, some of it's just been my daily life and having to come up with things quickly and on the spot. And it's just kind of felt like a natural thing at times.
Now, do you find that the stand-up helps with your acting?
I think it can just be the stage presence more than anything, and mm-hmm. then, you know, being on stage and the unexpected, which can occur. And most of the clubs that I've been at, there's times where even when you're not doing well, lots of people there and open mics and things like that are very supportive, because lots of times they know you're trying out new material and things like that. So there's not a lot of booing and hissing and, you know, things like that. But it certainly did to have the stage presence and of the unexpected and just, you know, oftentimes changing what you just did based on, you know, what another, you know, comedian did beforehand. You're like, oh, they did this, and I'm going to play off of that as well. So it definitely did. And just some of the audience and people coming, you know, we had, I was mentioning to you before the show here that I kind of got into it at the encouragement of a former student of mine who's actually in LA now and produces shows out there.
Oh, neat.
But, you know, we had a little bit of a following. There was a lot of kids from the school that would come out and watch the two of us on Sunday nights at open mics. And so, I think just being up on stage and I've had that stage experience for most of my life. And when you're in a classroom, you're on stage too. So that, I think, is a big influence.
Now, Ryan, this is your first show with Elgin Theater Company, is that correct?
It is, yeah.
What brought you to Elgin to do this show?
Ms. Julie Price. I'm so lucky that she enjoyed working with me in the previous show together with Palatine Park District, putting on Peter Pan, that she, you know, again, you know, it's Peter Pan, so it's not, it wasn't very serious Peter Pan. You know, it was kid show and very, you know, comedy Peter Pan throughout there. I think that's where she kind of saw, like, ah, okay, because I, you know, being very over-the-top animated Captain Hook, right? You know, being very kind of silly like that. And I think that's where the seed was planted, and she thought to herself, okay, like, I wonder what, that's the tip of the iceberg. What more can I get this guy to do? And because she had mentioned even to me then, kind of like what you alluded to, Will, about like the radio shows and the things she did. And I thought, oh yeah, sign me up. Yeah, radio show. And then all of a sudden radio show became, well, full on production. And I was like, oh yeah, that still sounds good. And then now here we are. And yeah, I'm just so lucky and fortunate that she considered, you know, me for such a thing. And right now it's been a blast.
So now, in order for you to take the plunge to move to a new location you've never been at to work with her again, she has to be a very special director. So what is it about working with Julie? What does she do that makes it a rewarding process?
Excellent question, and it's weird that you ask, because I was just thinking about it earlier to myself today, because I get to see, I also do work with Julie, actually work at the Park District for Palatine and helping to teach the Rising Stars class for kids, so from 8 to 10-year-olds, and I get to see her working, you know, with children, and I get to see her working with adults, right? So I've seen, like, I kind of see the gamut, even some of her mid-tier, you know, age groups as well. And the one thing that I think, you know, I can say holds true for her across all of that is just, you know, being serious, right? I mean, like, yes, children, you know, you want to be, you know, considerate to a certain degree, and she very much is so, but it's also just recognizing that, yes, okay, hey, focus, you know, these kinds of things. And that same, you know, stuff is the same thing. It's the notes we get, you know, when she's, you know, when we're done with scenes or done with rehearsal and the feedback she gives us. And it doesn't matter, you know, who you are, there, you know, there are no egos, Will. And we're all just, you know, actors there, and everybody, you know, gets notes, you know, just the same and everything. And I think that to me is one of the things that's just what makes a good director anyway. She recognizes, you know, anybody, you know, doesn't matter how many shows you've done with her or what your acting pedigree is, you need this note. You need to make this change because it's going to improve your performance in this fashion, you know. And she's like, again, I don't mean this in a negative way, unapologetic about the way she delivers it. Like, it's a matter of fact. And it's like, a good actor, you hear that, you're like, right, okay, how do I incorporate this feedback? And so that's what I've come to most appreciate about working with her so far, is just she sees things as they are, and she calls a spade a spade.
Now, William, we talked about that Elgin Theater Company in the past couple years has done radio shows. Mm-hmm. And you've been a part of those. And a certain tradition has been established. Audiences know what to expect from an Elgin Theater Company Christmas show. How does this fit into that tradition?
Well, I think, one, because it's a Christmas theme, and because it's fun. And the radio shows have always been a lot of fun, doing the sound effects and the Foley and the things like that. And, you know, dressing in kind of 1940s, 1950s type of costumes. And the way I kind of always, people would always be like, oh, so you're doing it on the radio. And it's like, well, no, we're actually doing it in the theater, but it's a radio show. And the way I always explain it to people who aren't familiar with that is, it's kind of like if you went back 70, 80 years and you were sitting in the studio audience of a radio station watching it on air live. And they're like, oh. And so there's a lot of fun with that. And I think that's kind of what people expect. I don't think that people want something heavy at this time of the year. So in keeping with the tradition of the fun of the radio shows and you know, putting in the commercials from the era that were real commercials, and you're like, oh my God, this was an actual commercial back at that time. That's what brought a lot of laughs and things like that. So there's a lot of fun, and you leave there with a smile on your face, feeling very festive. And this show, I think, fits that same mold, even though it's not a radio type of a show.
Now, one unique thing about this show is that you, at least for part of the show, used your actual names. Is that something that either one of you have ever experienced before in a show?
I don't believe I've ever been, you know, playing the character of Ryan Segovich. No, it's never happened to me.
Now, is it ever difficult to remember when you're talking to somebody with their real name or their character name, since you're using these interplayed?
It hasn't been for me. I mean, there's, it's baked and weaved through the show in such a fashion that they do want you to kind of be in and out of that. But I guess I wouldn't say that I've had those moments. I mean, there's sometimes where you just kind of feel it, but, I think just through the rehearsal process at this point, it seems like we're pretty well contained. What's your thoughts on it, Will?
Well, I think that there is definitely a switch over once you get into the putting on of the Christmas Carol, the play,
yeah,
where our real names occur a lot more right at the beginning.
Okay.
When we're trying to put it together and explain to the audience what's going on. But then once we, the curtain comes up, so to speak, we don't have a curtain, but then once the show starts, most of it's we're in characters of the Christmas Carol characters. I don't think of too many. There's one scene that I'm in where my name gets used when we're in that format, but I think once we get gone, we don't use our real names too much anyway.
No.
So. Now, you mentioned that with the radio shows in the past, part of the appeal of that, part of the entertainment value was seeing the Foley and such unfold on stage. Now, there is an element of that in this show as well. There's some tech, some sound and lights done on stage. Can you elaborate how that is incorporated into the story?
Well, because the sound and the tech are such an important feature, obviously, of any show. And since this show was supposed to have been done by the Royal Shakespeare Company, sound and tech was already set to be done a certain way. And now we're trying to incorporate it into the script that's been given by our playwright. And so not everything is connecting the way it was supposed to. So lights are maybe coming on at the wrong time, or sound effects are maybe not happening exactly when the new script is being said to do them. So as a result, there's some comedy of you were expecting a sound effect here or there. And so the tech people, and then we have someone who plays the director of the show. So there's some conflict between them over what's going on. And so it does bring quite a bit of comedy, actually, and the people playing those roles are just fantastic.
Indeed. I mean, these people it's characters unto themselves, right? Which I think is such a great added level to this, because you're just breaking the fourth wall, right? Yeah.
Now, do you have tech people on stage pretending to be actors, or do you have actors on stage performing tech roles, or is it intermixed? How does that work?
It's tech people that are also acting. And people who've done, like, that, I know that they've both done shows before as well, but in there are actual tech people who know what they're doing, and they're also acting.
Okay, so. Excellent. And now, is there anything about the holidays in particular that you would really like to say is a message of this show? You know, it's fun, it's hijinks, but at the end of the day, it is a Christmas Carol.
Right. Well, and I think that again, and Julie has mentioned several times that we're still telling that story even through the chaos of the show. And, you know, I think most of us who know that story know that it's about redemption, and it's about forgiveness, and it's about hope, more than anything else. And the fact that everyone is capable of change, even those of us who are maybe as embedded in our old traditions as possible, but people can change, and that there is hope. And that's what the spirit should be about, or the spirit of the season is about hope.
You know, as an audience member, I always have the most fun at shows when I can tell the actors are having fun. And just sitting here talking to you guys, I can tell that you have had a blast rehearsing this show. And it's going to be so much fun for anyone in the audience to see. Ryan, what has been the most fun about creating this chaos?
I think for me, the most fun would probably just be getting to know and meet this group of people. I'm very fortunate again to have been able to like be incorporated into them, because I know this is almost like, you know, Julie's ringers, you know, people she's known and come to work with, kind of like, as Will alluded to, she works throughout the burbs. And so there's a lot of people she knows, and, you know, and she, you know, asked them to come and join, you know, or at least audition for the show. And I'd say the most fun has just been like, just wow, and seeing the level of talent of all these other individuals, and to think, oh man, I get to hang out with you guys? Yes, please, sign me up.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Remember, you can stream past episodes of It's Showtime with Ricky Lee at huntleyradio.com. You can also find a link at rickyleetravolta.com. I've had the great pleasure of chatting with actor William Athau and actor Ryan Segovich from the Elgin Theater Company production of A Christmas Chaos at the Elgin Art Showcase. The show runs Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays through November 20th. For ticket information, call 847-741-0532 or visit elgin-theater.org. I encourage you to grab your tickets and support local theater while getting in the holiday spirit. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you very much.